This is Wyman and Bob
on Seattle Sports Station, powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming live on the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from T-Mobile Park. Again, Mariners getting set to take on the Angels in a four-game series. Tomorrow, a day-night doubleheader. You'll catch all of the action right here, Seattle Sports Station on 710. And always a pleasure to bring this man to the program who joins us on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. In fact, he'll be in town, I think, is it next weekend doing some shows? Is that true, Adam Ray? Is it next weekend you're going to be here?
You know, the least you could do is Google me from time to time, get the correct dates, give me a proper plug. You know, I've been having to watch the live stream and look at your guys' backs for the last 2.5 hours. I mean, by the way, who set up your shot today? Aaron Rodgers, ayahuasca shaman? I mean, like, this is, by the way, I got some girlfriend names for you. Ready? Aaron Rodgers, potential girlfriend names. Babushka, Begonia, Deb, and Shasta.
Deb in the middle of all of that.
Yeah, I've definitely been where Aaron's been, though. When he was like, man, I just, you know, it's like there's like 1,200 fingers just rubbing up inside you and all up and down you. I'm like, dude, I have been there. Say no more. This was me probably no more than 6 days ago after visiting a couple dispensaries in downtown Seattle. We'll be right back. We'll keep it right here.
Perfect.
Yeah, August 12th and 13th at Laughs Comedy Club in the U District in Seattle, Washington. Yeah. Tickets are going. Get them now. There's going to be some special guests, some surprises. Hopefully, Thumb shows up and takes
what he's got.
I was going to say, yeah, it's what he's got coming. But you know, we're buddies at this point. You know what I'm saying? I follow him on Grindr, so we're buddies.
Now, I didn't even. You guys are buddies because I got here today. I got here today, and we were going through the show, and he goes, "Oh yeah, so Adam's going to join us at 4. And I said, "Adam, who?" He said, "Adam Ray."
Oh,
he didn't text you, and I said, "No, I didn't. I didn't know anything about this. You didn't run this by me, Adam. That's why you didn't get the proper introduction. It's a surprise."
You're a busy guy, Bobby, and also I just feel like once Thumb and I broke the seal, I try to feel it out with all new friends. I text a you up around 9 a.m. and if they respond back, then I go, "Cool, I'm in. I'm in the circle of trust." And Thumb sent back a fun pickleball emoji, which I didn't really understand, but needless to say, the relationship is blossoming. Now, it's like the opposite of Marco Gonzalez and I relationship. It's sturdy. It's steady.
Lefko.
Yeah.
Lefko. That's all I could think of yesterday. Is he corrected us on something or he made a remark and I just had to chime in with Lefko.
I mean, I wish I could do that on stage tonight. I'm in Boston tonight for the first of 4 shows, and then I go to New Hampshire, Ellis, and then but the club is great. It's called Laugh Boston. Boston has a great comedy scene. The people are missing a few chromosomes, but you know that's something for a different podcast. You know, they're a little on edge all the time. They all look like they were made from Mr. Potato Head pieces. I mean, look at Salt. You know what I'm saying? It's just like they all have like elbows for noses and eyes for toes. It's just like a whole mismatch of who's that and why'd they do that and why they look like that and who is that? Yeah, but I'm pumped to be here. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
Well, I was going to ask you about the New York Comedy Club because you're going there August 9th in New York, New York.
Is that? I just had to cancel it. Yeah, I got to shoot something next week. But
wow.
Because
I was going to say, is that a big deal for you? But like, you don't even have time to go there and do it in New York because you're such a big deal.
You had
to cancel.
I don't know. I had to cancel. It was a one-nighter. I was just going to try to parlay this trip into that. Anytime I'm on this coast, I try to, maximize the time. But
that's a good thing, man. You know, you're taking off. It's huge.
I was hoping I was going to be able to see Castillo's debut in New York. I just mistimed that. I should have. The move would have been to go to New York. It's so funny. You think about these things after the fact. Like, I should have gone to New York, seen the Castillo, our future Cy Young winner, and Felix number two, just throw a doozy, and see J.P. Crawford win, you know, a gold glove every game. I mean, J.P. Crawford has scooped more balls than Lefko at an all-nude pickleball tournament. I mean, it's just like every game, and there's a couple jokes in there. You can figure it out on the drive home.
It's starting to hit me.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, I would have loved to have stopped by and done New York. It's, you know, always this side of the country has great comedy fans, but, you know, no better than Seattle, which I will be in August 12th and 13th. Four shows, Left Comedy Club. Come see me, baby.
Well, wait a minute. Are you going to be in town, Dave, or you're going to be
8-12
on the road with the the Steelers Seahawks?
Yeah, I'll be in Pittsburgh.
Back Sunday.
Yeah,
right. Back on Sunday,
back Sunday,
but he's
we could do a private show. I don't know what's going on Sunday. Are
private
you
show.
To get back on the road though, Dave?
Yeah, private show. You stand in front of Dave and just fire jokes at him for 45 minutes.
No, I got to be honest, Dave. After the shows late Saturday night, you might get a couple texts from me because I'm going to be full Aaron Rodgers at that point. Just his fingers up and down me, and I'm feel like I'm inside of a hot tub while I'm standing outside of a 7-Eleven, just looking directly into the eyes of the Tilted World pizza machine, and just hoping that they don't kick me out for going knees deep into the Slurpee machine. You know what I'm talking about.
Is that the weirdest thing I labeled it the weirdest thing I've ever heard a football player say. Maybe a person. That was ridiculous.
I mean, yeah, it was, you know, I think because we're not used to it. It's like any, especially a guy of that magnitude, he's already, you know, it's such a, we expect these guys to be so charismatic and charming. And I think we got to stop. I mean, once Steph Curry, you know, hosted the ESPYs, I was like, all right, like the bar, there's no bar anymore. It was just like, so Aaron Rodgers, you know, you want him to be a cool dude because he looks cool and he looks like he'd be riding in like a sidecar with Bob driving a motorcycle at Aurora trying to pick up ladies of the day. But he just, I don't know, when he talks, he's so melancholy and just, you know, just a real kind of monotone and I don't know. But then again, you go, maybe it's because Brett Favre had a little more chutzpah to him. Like Favre had like a little bit of a twang and you know, he had a lot of fun stuff on his phone that he was sending out. So like, he was interesting, right? But Rodgers is just like, you know, Rodgers is like doing a Beacon Plumbing ad. It's just like, dude, you got to give some tonal variation. It's just, but again, I, you know, anybody that's, you know, gaining some sort of, you know, reflective, you know, perspective from something like that, like, I'm all for it. But, you know, maybe just whatever happened to taking stuff to the grave, just think it in your head. You don't have to say it out loud. It's making you look like you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Hey, by the way, let me ask you, as a hardcore Mariner fan, of which you are, and anybody who watches your videos, whether it's on Instagram or Twitter, you are always repping Seattle. You've either got a Mariners hat, a Sonics hat, a Seahawks shirt. You've got some Seattle sports paraphernalia on stage with you at all times. But as a Mariner fan, do you dislike the Astros or the Angels more? Which one do you just loathe?
Great question. And, you know, Jerry DePoto, by the way, is coming on my podcast about last night in 2 weeks, and we were going to get fully into that. But I right now, look, the Astros, the hatred for them is just, it's almost like I don't even consider them a real team. Like, the fact that they've gotten away with what they got away with and there were no repercussions and we're all just supposed to, you know, they didn't even have to suffer in front of fans the next season. So it's like, they just suck on so many levels, and I want them to have their all their players start to slowly just, you know, get traded away and have them just really you know, have a deep dark rebuild. They suck. I hate them with a fiery passion. My high school yearbook quote was "F the Astros," and that was, you know, 10 years before I knew they were going to cheat. They just smelled like cheaters. Jeff Bagwell just looks like a guy that blames a fart. Jeff Bagwell. There's something about Jeff Bagwell. Even back in the day, he was like one of my favorite guys to pretend to you know, emulate his batting stance. But Bagwell,
Bagwell has the face of a guy who, you know, who definitely would, like, go up to, like, a karaoke DJ and give him, like, a five and go, hey, it'd be cool if I was next. And you're like, dude, get out of here, man. You're too drunk. You got a pickleball game in the morning. Yeah. What's that?
Now, as I said, you rep Seattle wherever you're at, and I've got to imagine you've played Houston more than a few times since the whole cheating scandal. Is it? Do you make that part of the act? Do you take shots at all, or do you let that go Houston?
I try to keep that as a little bit separate. People come to the comedy club for an escape. You know, when I was in Anaheim recently, I did make a couple cracks about just how bad the Angels are. You know, like Phil Nevin definitely, you know, reminds me of your friend's dad who slams a five-hour energy and then says, hey, you guys double dug dare me to pee out of my butt? And you're like, yeah, man, nobody does, actually, because you're a psycho and you're the father of my friend, so I'm going to let that slide because it is your house and we got to stay here. So, you know, I make little cracks here and there, but, you know, they know, like people know. People are smart enough to know. The Angels are like this generation of kids. There's like no bravery. They got no fire, you know, like, you know, having cell phones to have access to all sorts. Like, the Mariners are very, you know, relatable to, like, the kids of the 90s. Like, for me, you know, kids nowadays can't run away because their parents will track them with their cell phones. They'll be back within an hour. But, like, I ran away in a single-mom household four times in a month, and, you know, I'd scream, you know. Kids will run away. It doesn't take much. You wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Your mom asks you to do a chore you don't want to. And then you just scream something like, I wish you were never my mom. Right? And then I would just run out the door. I'd run out the door. And, you know, again, being a fat kid, it's like my mom knew I wasn't going far. It was 15 minutes up a hill to get out of our cul-de-sac. So what is a fat kid's kryptonite? An incline. We'll be right back. But no, and my mom would suck me back in. She's like, yeah, you can run away, but it's spaghetti and meatballs tonight. I was like, all right, I'm staying tonight, but tomorrow I'm out of here. She's like, well, you have a soccer game tomorrow, and if you win, we're going for ice cream. I was like, all right, if we win, I'm getting two scoops, and then you can have two scoops to see you later, because I'm out Sunday, 6 a.m. Tell the school, file a missing persons report. Yeah, the Angels suck. I don't know, man. Trout is such a he knows what he is for skipping out. He doesn't want to face the Trout. What he should do, Trout and the entire Angels team should walk out in No Fear t-shirts. Remember No Fear t-shirts?
Yes.
They had like all these cool catchphrases and sports related like moments where it was like bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, two outs, full count, No Fear. And you see some kid wearing that on the playground, you're like, that kid's not afraid of anything, right? There's usually like some kid that looked like Brock, but he was like nine, but he was 400 pounds. And you're like, dude, that kid is just a beast, right? But so I don't know. The Angels suck. I don't think they're going to tank because I don't think they have it in them. But you know, this is what happens, man. It's their time, and it's going to be the Astros' time too. Once we really hit our stride and go on another winning streak.
What do you think Mike Trout would say about not being up here for this series, Adam?
Well, I actually have. It's funny you asked me that, Dave. I actually was able to obtain audio. I don't know if you guys know this, but you know, Lefko and I have been texting, and you know, I get to meet some cool people in this business, and I actually ran into Trout, and he told me he'd been texting with Lefko about, because Trout's really big into pickleball. So he actually sent me the audio. He taped it. And so I actually have audio of Lefko and Trout's conversation. I'd like to play that for you guys right now.
Please.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Hey, so you're still all good to play pickleball today, right?
Yeah, of course, Mike. Yeah, thanks for the invite, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. So we'll play the 15, win by two, and loser has to buy the other one a loaf of bread.
Okay, well, I'm going to beat you, Mike.
Call me Lefko, please. Lefko. Call me Lefko. Say it for me real quick.
Lefko.
No, a little more softer in your voice. Lefko, just close your eyes like you're dreaming of standing on a boat and someone's holding you up behind you, Titanic style, preferably Rick Riz. All right, here we go. Play the 15, win by two. Service.
Oh, you hit me.
Hey, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Daddy's making omelets.
No, you hit me.
You hit me in the ribs, not the head. If you're going to hit me in the ribs. I don't know if that was your intent, but you hit my head.
Yeah, the, well, that's what you get, baby. That's what you get. Here on Seattle Sports Network. Let's go.
Eerily accurate.
Sean sent me that audio. Cool.
The Lefko is so spot on.
Oh, man. By the way, Lefko, if you make a T-shirt with your face on it that says, Daddy's making omelets, I would buy 50 of those tonight.
What do you think of all his right. impression of you? You have to admit, it's pretty good.
Yeah, the pickleball thing, too. Spot on.
He's got your cadence. He's
you
got
do stuff. Play to 15 sometimes. Normally 11, but most of the time 15.
And normally 11. It just depends on the day, but it depends if I have somewhere else to be after. But no, he's just at 15. He's got the score right. He's got the whole perception of pickleball. I'm trying to get it. It's not tennis. It's not ping pong, but it's getting up there. It's getting more popularized, as they say, as the kids say. But I don't know. We played at 15. Sometimes we played at 9. If we have something else to do, usually we don't, because pickleball usually takes precedence of that day. But you know, you can play pickleball in the morning or in the evening, depending on if the court has lights. But you know, you just have to find a court nearby that you are a member at. Not every court lets you just walk on and play pickleball. You have to email them or text them before. And that's Mike Lefko here on the Seattle Sports Radio Network.
Lefko.
Lefko.
Oh my! Oh, I got more than I bargained for, though.
So Dave's got tears coming out right now.
That's good. That's good.
So
before I get, go ahead, Bob.
Well, I was just going to say, so you've got the shows coming up next Friday and Saturday at Laughs, right?
Yeah.
When does the? Because you're taking off to film the third season of The Young Rock soon, aren't you?
Yeah, Young Rock, we go to back to Australia in, it should be September or October. So I'll find out my schedule on that soon. And then the that's right around when the Chippendale show should come out and in October. But Young Rock comes out in November, so we're starting early this season. And, you know, I was just talking to Dwayne a few days ago, and he was just giving me some insight into Vince for this next season, and it's pretty cool. There's a lot of really good storylines. The show really, you know, starts to kind of get, you know, become a little bit more of, you know, this kind of similar timeline from last year. It's now kind of, you know, we play out kind of Rocky's decline as I make an example out of him, and we see Vince like late 90s, like 97, and it's basically as Dwayne's kind of struggling as Rocky Maivia before, you know, Vince has to kind of turn him heel and start kind of turning him into, you know, what do we know him as now. So it'll be a cool next season. I'm really pumped to actually, you know, be more in it, you know.
Yeah, well, and you know what's funny is you got these two shows coming up, and we just saw you at the Paramount, and in the audience I was sitting right next to Rick Riz. He had the seat next to me.
Oh, yeah.
And then I looked down the aisle, and there's Jerry DePoto, who looked like he was about 25 years old. He had an AC/DC T-shirt on with a neck all stretched out and a pair of shorts and flip-flops. And I assume that
DePoto,
was...
Yeah. My buddy Sal Vulcano, who, you know, was opening for, goes, right after the show, he goes up to Jerry, he goes, because I told him that, you know, you guys were coming, he goes, oh my goodness. He goes, what is your skincare regime? He's like, you don't look a day over 32. And he's like, I'm 54. And we both just lost it. I mean, I was like, and then we're like, what happened? And his wife's so sweet. She was like, you know, he's like, whatever she tells me to put on my face, I just, you know, I do it. And I was like, dude, you are setting me up for a real big swing right here. But I'm going to lay off it because you're a guest. And then, he goes, yeah, no, he's like, I'm like, I don't know, it's the stress of the job. And he's like, no, I don't know. And but yeah, that guy is a sweet dude. And so I'll have him on the podcast in a few weeks. But there was a baby at that show.
Yes.
I don't know if you saw Dave and Thumb, but there was a baby at the Paramount. Some woman brought a baby and halfway through it just starts crying. And I was like, is there a baby in the crowd? And then this woman looks over and the baby kind of starts crying back. And I was like, man, the baby. I was like, this is the worst heckle of my career. Like, even the baby's like, where's Sal? Get off the stage.
And, at one point, you go. You said, I don't even really know what to say here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, then I was like talking about Tiger King, and I was like, Carole Baskin, do we think she did it? And everyone cheers, and then there's a beat, and there's silence, and then the baby goes, eh.
Oh, that was good. That was a great show for the listeners out there that were out at the Paramount that night. But yeah, it was cool to see Riz sitting next to Riz talking. He was cracking up, and then just seeing Jerry dressed. I'm so used to seeing him out here at the ballpark, and again, he's in an AC/DC t-shirt, and the neck looked like he had been yanking on the neck of the shirt, and in flip flops and shorts. It just a very casual, young looking DePoto.
He definitely looked like he looked like a man of the people, a regular dude. He looked like a dude that would this is how I sometimes picture Dave post show, like Dave sitting down, couple Jack and Cokes in. Opening up a Coors Light can and saying to himself, when the mountains turn blue, it's cold. That's how I know it's ready to drink, because I can't sense temperature because I'm hammered. So I look at the mountain to turn blue, right, me? And when the mountain's blue, I know that it's ready to sip, right, me, Dave? It's a blue mountain, but when it's gray mountain, don't drink. But blue mountain means drink. I mean, these beer slogans, by the way, like, I'm a big tequila guy, and it's like, Don Julio's slogan is, make your move, know your tequila, welcome to the top shelf. You guys had a Miller Lite ad before this, and it's like, Miller Lite, it's Miller time. How lazy. Like, they're just like, because the audience hears that, and they go, yeah, I thought it was 4:15, but it is Miller time. I'm going to take my pants off, embarrass my kids real quick. These beer slogans, all they got to do is just be like, beer. It's the beer for your mouth. Lick it off the floor. You know you already are. That's the audience. Don't need a fancy up.
Well, you nailed my post-show routine. Adam, so appreciate that.
Dude,
and nailed the Lefko imitation, by the way. Nailed it.
I can't tell you tears. How jealous I am that you guys are at the park, because, you know, that honestly, if I lived in Seattle, I would make a hard push to be there every Friday with you guys, because last time was awesome, and then getting to have some cocktails with you in the suite last time was awesome. I'm very jealous. My shows are going to be done right when, probably during maybe the 4th or the 5th, which is about when I feel like Robbie will be well into his no-no tonight, and so I'll be able to catch the rest of the game. So if you guys want to take a shot over FaceTime, or Lefko, if you want to do a shot of Lefko, what's your drink again? It's not Zima and Fresco. What do you drink?
Yeah, you nailed it. That's exactly it.
Lefko, what is it really? We had a drink. What is it?
It was that, they had those can, that Jack and Coke in a can. That was interesting.
Oh, the pre-mixed.
That was right.
It was intriguing to me.
We had, didn't we have like a cucumber mint, like mojito in a can or something?
Yeah, that was good too.
That was good. Yeah. And then I proposed.
Yeah. Lefko will drink anything.
Then he proposed.
Lefko said, I'm taken. I can't do that.
I would love to, but I have a pickleball match at 9 a.m. tomorrow, and I got to go home and get my my beauty rest. Aaron Rodgers Shaman just sent me a text and said, close your eyes and imagine my fingers going up and down your back. And that's usually how I fall asleep. And it's not ideal, but it is a great day here at the ballpark. And we're out here at Seahawks camp, and we got the fans on because it's hot. And, of course, that's what happens in the summertime. The sun comes out and it gets warm. And so we get to see Dave in shorts, which will be a sight for everyone. I know I'm excited to see it, but that's why we put the cameras on. That's why we're streaming live, so everyone can see Dave's white milky thighs here on the Seattle Sports Network.
Lefko.
All right, I love you guys.
Adam, appreciate it. So the 11th and 12th at Laughs is where it's at.
12th and 13th.
11th, 12th, and 13th. Okay.
12th and
13th. No, the 12th and 13th. 13th.
All right. I don't have a calendar in front of me.
You're good.
The 12th and 13th. At Laughs. I'll be out there. I'm sure Lefko will be out there. It'll be a good time.
Just say the word Lefko into your phone and Siri will pull it up on Google.
Okay. Well, right. Adam, love you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye, Lefko.
There you go.
Bye.
See ya.
There's Adam Ray, 12th and 13th at Laughs. Tickets going fast, so get those tickets. If you missed any of that conversation with Adam, you can check it out on the podcast page after the show. SeattleSports.com. Coming up, should NFL teams still go away for training camps? Not many do, but we'll get into that next. It's Wyman and Bob live from T-Mobile Park. You're listening to Seattle Sports Station on 710.
This is Seattle Sports Station.
You're listening to Wyman and Bob, brought to you by Angel of the Winds Casino Resort.
Now, here are your hosts, Dave Wyman and Bob Stelton.
We continue live from T-Mobile Park. It's Wyman and Bob. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710. If you missed any of our conversation with Adam Ray in the last segment, it will be available on the podcast page after the show at seattlesports.com. A reminder, he'll be at Laughs Comedy Club the 12th and 13th of this month. Just got a text from our buddy Ryan Roland Smith. Said Adam Ray was hilarious, and he's saying he wants to go to the show. He was in the car listening.
I'm glad that he, I shouldn't tempt him, doesn't have an imitation of me or you, but he's got a good one of Lefko.
He's got it nailed.
He pretty much does.
He really does. The Trout could use some work. I don't think he really talks like that, like, but that's the funniest part of it.
Do you think he'd have a good Ryan Roland Smith impression?
Ooh,
probably.
I think
he would have a good one. Yeah.
You just want him to direct his attention to somebody other than you.
No, because I think the more the better. Think about a three-way conversation between him doing me, Trout, and Ryan Roland Smith.
I'm pretty happy just hearing him do Lefko.
All right.
Lefko.
I didn't even think about that. I was like, what do you think Mike Trout would say about this? I thought we were going to get his Trout thing, and then he said he had a conversation between Trout and Lefko. So I was pretty happy about that.
I love that. Now pickleball, you can play it at any time you want. Sometimes
go to 15, win by two.
Meanwhile, we touched on this a bit yesterday, and I thought it was pretty funny. There was a soundbite from Von Miller, who's with the Buffalo Bills now. Yeah. And he talked, that's one of the teams. There are eight teams that actually go away for training camp. They leave their facilities. They travel elsewhere. We talked about the Cowboys going to California, and Bills are one of those teams that travel and stay in what are essentially dorm rooms. But here's cut number five, because I guess Von, in talking about it, said, man, when you go out there, everything's different. He goes, the toilet paper's different. And the Bills Mafia responded in kind. Here's cut number five, Von Miller, talking about that.
I tell you what, the people of Buffalo, the people of Rochester, and just Bills fans in general are great. I remember the last time I was over here, I said something about the toilet paper, and 4 days later, like, I got all types of toilet paper just in the mail, and wipes, and plant-free wipes from all types of fans. And like, I just put them in the locker room. Like, it was great. I wasn't trying to complain. I was just saying, like, my experience being in the dorms, like, 33, you know, and then you come in, and, like, there's just so many different things that are different. And, you know, I just said, like, hey, the toilet paper's different. And, like, boom, like, boxes on boxes on boxes of toilet paper and wipes and stuff, and everybody's just trying to make my stay here a whole lot easier, man. I just want to say publicly, man, I appreciate all of you guys, and I'm grateful.
So he just a passing throwaway comment about, you know, staying in what's essentially a dorm, and the, man, everything's different, even the toilet paper's different. Also, he's getting boxes and boxes of toilet paper and wipes sent to him, which I'm sure his teammates appreciate, because he's bringing it to the locker room, and they're not using the sandpaper that's probably provided there. So,
well, it's not that so much as it is that there's one ply, and then there's like 1/10 ply, and that's what you get when you go to, like, you know, you go to a dorm room. They're probably staying in dorms, right?
I assume so. Yeah,
I'm not sure what facility that.
It's right here. I've got it right here. Their training camp is at St. John Fisher College, which is in Rochester, New York.
Okay. Yeah, that's kind of
so
like
a college. Yeah, that's going to be dorms.
Like Northwest Bible College that was right there in Kirkland. We stayed in their little dorms. And, you know, I stayed in a room that was probably as wide as this booth, which is, what, 12 feet, whatever?
Yeah.
And there was two single beds, and you had a roommate, and hoped he didn't snore. And
snoring would probably be the least of the problems that could happen there.
Yeah, so I mean, Yeah, and then you go into the bathroom and they have that single ply or whatever it is. It's like you have to unroll the toilet paper for like 30 seconds before you get one. Geez. So
yeah, there's only eight. Does it surprise you? I was actually surprised that it's eight teams. I wouldn't think it was that many. I would have taken the under.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what's the deal with Buffalo. Like, I remember Detroit, like their whole. Do the Lions go away? Are they one of them?
Here's the list. So you got Buffalo. As I said, they go to St. John Fisher College, which is in Rochester. The Carolina Panthers go to Wofford College, which is in Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the Dallas Cowboys who
every year go to Oxnard.
Says Marriott Residence Inn. Do they have a field there at the Marriott?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's in Oxnard, California.
Yeah, that's where they're at. The Rams... they just University of California, Irvine is where they train.
Hmm.
The Kansas City Chiefs head to Missouri Western State University, which is in St. Joseph, Missouri. Not familiar with that, but so they travel. The Pittsburgh Steelers, they are at St. Vincent College in Latrobe, PA. Indianapolis Colts travel to Grand Park, which is in Westfield, Indiana. And then Jacksonville. Their training camp is at Episcopal School of Jacksonville, which is in Jacksonville, Florida.
All huge mega colleges, right, that they go to.
I'm not familiar with any of these, except for Wofford, I've heard of.
Yeah, exactly. And it's kind of like Cheney, you know, where the Seahawks used to go. And I told the story earlier in the week, but we would go to, when I went to Denver, we went to Greeley, Colorado, mm-hmm. where there was a rendering plant where they cut up beef and it stunk constantly.
Is that the slaughterhouse, or is that after they've been slaughtered they're cutting up the beef?
Slaughterhouse.
Oh man,
yeah, it was not a good smell. So it was tough. I slept on a mattress that was on the ground, and yeah, you get the one ply toilet paper as Von Miller was talking about. So
well, then all you got to do is do an interview and bring it up, and the fan base, if they're supportive, will help you out.
There you go.
That's pretty cool.
Quick story at Northwest Bible College. One time I was Cortez Kennedy liked to wander the hallways at night, and so I got up to go to the bathroom, and I came back, got in bed, and out of my closet jumped Cortez Kennedy and scared the crap out of me.
Just messing with you. Just had to mess with your frustrating thumb, by the way.
Why?
Because we got to go to a break.
Well, I can't see him.
He's giving me the hands. Giving you the hands of frustration. All right, coming up.
I got one more story.
It continues to be less than a smooth offseason for those Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray. We're going to hear about that when we sweep the dial. Coming your way next with Wyman and Bob, live from T-Mobile Park. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.
Scanning the airwaves for the most interesting and entertaining stories of the day. Sweeping the dial. Every afternoon at 4:45 with Wyman and Bob.
I don't know. It seems like a lot of strange things are going on with the Cardinals organization right now. There was some drama with Kyler Murray. It got resolved. I don't know what the relationship's like, but Cliff Kingsbury, certainly he's kind of joking around here, but he describes why he had Kyler Murray call some plays during a recent practice.
Yeah, I just want to know that, hey, it ain't easy, you know? Like every now and then. He starts shaking his head when I'm calling him in there. I'm like, all right, well, go ahead, big dog, you know. No, I think anytime we can keep him involved, and he was coaching him up, like, right to the last second, like, while they're trying to throw, he'd be saying stuff. So probably won't do that again.
So Kyler was shaking his head about play calls that were coming in, so he decided, yeah, well, you go ahead and do it. You go ahead and do it. I know he painted it as kind of a light moment there, like, go ahead, big dog. No, seriously. I think Kyler's probably just a giant pain in the backside. That's the outside impression. There's just something about that guy that doesn't click for me. He's got a load of talent, but there's just something about his personality for me. And then the whole addendum to his contract, which they removed because it became a huge deal, because that is not a common thing in these contracts, especially for your team leader. And somehow he felt insulted by the reaction to it.
Well, it's like a pitcher shaking off a catcher. Is that what he's doing? I didn't know that was a thing as far as offensive coordinators go. I get it if you're in the league for 10 years or 12 years, or, you know, if you're Brady.
If you're Peyton Manning, Brady, Drew Brees, maybe, something like that.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
although Aaron might be high or something. But, yeah, I mean, I don't, he's only in what, this is going to be his fourth year or fifth year? Anyway, look at the NFC West right now as far as quarterbacks go. You think the Seahawks are the only ones that have somewhat of a question mark? Because we heard today that Matthew Stafford has pretty severe tendonitis.
Abnormal elbow pain.
Yeah. So, I mean, and who was it? Was it McVay that was saying it's very unusual or something like that? So, okay, there's that. There's Kyler Murray and his whole mess. And then, you know, you look at what the 49ers going through right now. I mean, Trey Lance, and I'm not wishing him ill will or anything. It's just that they don't know anything about him. The guy played like 17 college games.
Oh, I hope they stink. I'm wishing him that kind of ill will. I want him to lose.
Yeah, so the Seahawks, you know, in their situation, I guess, at least in the NFC West, they're not alone.
Sweeping the dial.
Well, the Mariners are going to have a good problem here soon because Ty France is back. He's in the starting lineup tonight. Mitch Haniger should be back soon. And we know the Mariners like Carlos Santana's bat in the lineup. So in terms of who plays first, who's the DH, the question was thrown out there, could Ty France play second base? Jerry DePoto said, well, don't expect too much of that.
You know, I don't think so, because partly what we're dealing with right now with Ty taking the last, three games or three and a half games, actually, and not playing. We want to make sure that we keep Ty's bat doing the things that his bat does. And, you know, he's an excellent first baseman. He's done a great job for us since he's taken that role every day. You might see a scenario like we saw in Houston last Saturday night with Ty, but that's only going to be if it's absolutely necessary.
Yeah, it's, it's a good problem you have there. You've got two very, very competent at the very least, two very good defensive first basemen, Carlos Santana and obviously Ty France, and you want Ty France's bat in the lineup, however it's going to happen. He showed he can play second. We haven't seen him really. I keep going back to that Divish comment when we were talking about him. Hey, can he play third? And he said, well, for a third baseman, he's a really good DH. Remember that? It was.
Well, I wonder if he could have played third. I mean, if he really worked at it, because I don't know what's harder, but he sure became a really good first baseman.
Very good, yeah.
But I think I saw a lineup somewhere that the DH was Santana tonight, but maybe I'm wrong about that. But
I'll investigate, Dave.
Yeah. So, I'm really excited to see Ty France back because, you know, he's just. I mean, they've been getting it done with guys like Winker and Frazier, who we talked to earlier, stepping up. But also, you know, Sam Haggerty, and now you got your two big guns back tonight.
Sweeping the dial.
Yeah, Santana's the DH, batting cleanup. Ty France batting second and playing first. But Mike Tomlin was explaining to Kurt Warner earlier this week. Kurt Warner was out at Steelers training camp about those new Guardian helmets, the Guardian caps that go over the helmet. And Tomlin was explaining why they're putting them on every Steelers player.
This Guardian cap that I know they've got certain positions wearing these. I know you've been an advocate of having all of your guys wear this. Why such a proponent of this?
You know, I'm not a medical expert, and I didn't go to medical school, and so I rely on those guys. And I sit on a committee or two, and it's always been speculative in the past regarding what this does for you. This past offseason, the medical experts were very definitive. They say if one person has it on, it mitigates the potential of concussions by 10%, and if both guys, 20%. And when they talk that definitively, and I didn't go to medical school, I get behind that, and I explain that to our guys. As a leader of the group, man, it's my job to safeguard them and to work to make their working environment as safe as I can make it. And so that's just a component of it.
What's been the early response?
Who cares?
I love it. Well, I love it.
An old coach is saying, don't ever ask the players what they think.
Yeah,
that was I remember I had a young high school football coach that after I'd coached for a couple of years. Well, what do you guys think? I'm like, no. Never ask, especially teenage boys.
Yeah,
what they think,
or even grown men at the NFL level. Men. I love that. What do your players think? Who cares? There's a picture. I sent you guys the article. There's a picture of him wearing one of those. Mike Tomlin just standing there wearing one of those Guardian helmets on top of his head, just standing. He's not smiling like, oh, this is a jokey, funny picture. He's just standing there with it on his head, just like he's looking out there on the field. So I love it. You know, whether you, as a player, you agree with him, you don't agree with him, whatever. He's the boss.
Well, and he, you know, he looks like he could be very serious and kind of a bit of a hard ass, but
I love him.
He also is a guy that had to put up with Antonio Brown and
Le'Veon Bell
and everything. So, you know, I think he's, you know, it's kind of like Pete. Everybody thinks that Pete's like super chill and everything. I'm like, I'm sure there's a side with Pete where he's very old school. And so I like hearing that from, the fact that Tomlin put up with those guys makes you realize what a good coach he is.
I just love that. What do the players think? Who cares? That's an awesome response. All right. Coming up, it's, where did that go? I just lost it there. All right. Angels in town for the first time since the brawl, and Eric Swanson, who was right in the middle of that whole thing, is going to join us up here in the booth. A lot to talk about with him. That is coming your way next with Wyman and Bob. We continue live from T-Mobile Park. This is Seattle Sports Station on 710.